Hi, this is Stephen Reichland, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio, high atop Chicago. As Chicago gets ready for Labor Day weekend, and there's so many of these kind of festive food holidays, and you don't want to demean or diminish the importance of the real reason that they were put on the calendar or the observance, but oftentimes the way people celebrate and kind of get together and commiserate is through barbecue and grilling. Excited to have a James Beard Award winner, multiple time best-selling book author, multiple times. We'll talk about his new book, The Brisket Chronicles, a television celebrity, Hall of Famer, barbecue superhero, the one and only Stephen Reichland. Stephen, welcome to WGN.
Hey, it's great to be back.
It's great to have you on here. And I know that these are the times where I'm sure you're in the command center, whether it's giving helpful advice or dispensing important information in the barbecue and grilling side. So the listeners are excited to have you on. When it comes to Labor Day, you think Memorial Day, 4th of July, you know, Labor Day, and we mentioned, of course, in the intro that there's, you know, actual real significance and important reasons for the holidays to be on the calendar. But people oftentimes, when they get together, do barbecue and grilling. Is there a date, a holiday? It doesn't even have to be an American one, because I think your presence is global. Is there a barbecue or grilling holiday that is your favorite or that you kind of recognize the most?
You know, every day is a barbecue holiday for me. And obviously Labor Day, you know, Memorial Day, July 4th, but really every day is a beautiful excuse to fire up the grill.
A beautiful excuse. And that's one of the things, right? You look for reasons. Now, I'm one of those guys. I'm an enthusiast, and I think that number grows and has grown over the last handful of years. But, Stephen, I find myself, you know, asking my wife, or we're like, hey, what do you want to, you know, because always in the morning, like, well, what do you want to have for dinner? That's the whole question. And now I'm trying to think of, like, well, what do I have that I can use the grill for? I mean, there's things that we could cook, obviously, in the kitchen that don't need, you know, they don't need the Kamado or the pellet smoker or the Weber or whatever. But I'm always kind of looking for reasons to fire it up.
You know, for me, grilling session always begins with a trip to the market. I'm talking to you from Martha's Vineyard now.
Wow.
We have incredible farmers markets, fantastic seafood, you know, great island-raised meats and chicken. So, you know, first I shop, then I light the grill.
You've got Martha's Vineyards, and we're going to talk a little bit about travel and ways that people can get out there and explore the world and do it in the way that Stephen Reichland does it. You mentioned seafood, you mentioned chicken, you mentioned some of those other seasonal things. The most recent book, The Brisket Chronicles, and as we get into Labor Day weekend, people are trying to challenge, to climb that, what is it, the Mount Kilimanjaro or the Mount Everest of the barbecue and grilling world, which is the brisket. So talk a little bit about the book. This is kind of like that kind of handbook to success for barbecue's toughest meat.
Well, barbecue and beyond, because the Brisket Chronicles tell you not only how to smoke barbecue the ultimate Texas brisket and barbecued briskets actually from across the U.S., but also covers pastrami, which starts as brisket, corned beef, which covers brisket, Montreal smoked meat, Vietnamese beef noodle soup, Italian bolito misto. These all begin with brisket.
And you mentioned in one of our other conversations, you mentioned Texas just recently, and you mentioned Aaron Franklin, who's kind of a traditionalist, right? A less is more salt and pepper guy out there making what you've contended to be some of the, if not the best brisket out there. Do you feel like, what is the entry point? Or is the entry point wherever people come at it on their culinary side, and then they can branch out into areas they may not be as familiar? Or is that really a great place to start? Is sort of that simple, sort of that Texas kind of situation, and then kind of branch out to maybe some of those cuisines from around the world?
Well, if you think about what you want to accomplish in a lifetime, one thing you definitely want to accomplish to master is smoking a whole Texas Packer brisket. Now, Packer brisket, you know, brisket is actually comprised of two muscles, right? There's a fattier muscle called the point and a leaner muscle called the flat. And together they give you a brisket that weighs anywhere from 12 to 18 pounds. This is what the big boys smoke in Texas. The seasoning, super simple, equal parts, coarse salt, and cracked black peppercorns. The whole trick lies in smoking the brisket low and slow. That is 250 degrees for a period of time, you know, measured in half days. I also like to wrap the brisket in butcher paper about two-thirds of the way through the process. This seals in moisture, but it breathes, so you keep that bark, that crust on the brisket, nice and crisp and savory. Now, you mentioned entry point, and probably the entry point for most people, and I'm betting most people in Chicago, will be a brisket flat. That is the leaner of those two muscles, and that's what you tend to find in the supermarket on any given day. So I do have a trick for a brisket flat. Brisket flat, typically it's had all that wonderful fat trimmed off of it, and you need the fat to keep the meat moist during this long cooking. So the second recipe in the Brisket Chronicles has you place the brisket flat, once seasoned with salt and pepper, in an aluminum foil pan, and you drape the top with artisanal thick-cut smoky bacon.
Wow!
And then you smoke the bacon in that foil. You smoke the brisket in that foil pan. What happens is the bacon fat melts. It keeps the meat moist. It bastes the meat. And working the foil pan keeps the bottom from drying out. You know, it shields it from that hot, dry heat of the smoker. Cooking time here, you're looking at maybe 6 hours, so obviously that's a lot easier and more manageable than a half day. But the results are still fantastic.
Oh, and so what is it, Stephen, that, you know, we've worked with KCBS on the competition side and I've judged the Jack, I've judged, you know, different barbecue competitions, and even for those that do this as kind of their passion or maybe even their vocation, it's still tough. What is it that people, because it seems when you say the seasonings, you know, it's not complicated. When you say what it is, it's just about a little patience, a little time and temperature. What is it that people are doing wrong all the time that makes it so difficult?
Well, you know, I think one big problem truly is impatience. You know, you cannot rush a brisket. And another problem is that, and I would say problem, a challenge, or actually just a fact of life, when you cook brisket, you must use either a charcoal grill or a wood or charcoal burning or an electric smoker. You cannot cook a brisket on a gas grill and get satisfactory results.
So that's important. You got to have the right equipment for those people out there listening. You got to have that. Then you've got to go and get that cut of meat and then follow some of those instructions. And also on the rest time, over the years we've talked, and that's so important as well, right? And the impatient side, it's one thing you get it done, it seems done, but you've got to let it sit.
You do. That's perhaps the hardest and cruelest phase of the whole cooking process, but you are absolutely right. You've spent 10 to 12 hours smoking the perfect brisket. You wrapped it as you should. You powered through the stall. And what you need to do now is let your brisket sit wrapped in its paper in an insulated cooler for 1 to 2 hours. The meat will relax, the juices will redistribute, and your brisket will be about 10,000 times more juicy and succulent than if you tried to serve it hot off the smoker.
I'm doing the math right now. 10,000 times is a lot of times. And so I think the weight and the risk to the reward ratio, I think it's definitely worth the wait. One quick thing is
you know, there's another advantage to that process too, by the way.
Okay.
And that is, you know, when you're cooking something for 10 or 12 hours, it's hard to pinpoint exactly when it will be ready. But if you do your brisket before everybody comes over and it's resting in that insulated cooler, you know, it gives you a lot more flexibility. I mean, that could, you know, you could work it, you could let it rest for 1 hour, 2 hours. So it gives you a lot more wiggle room in terms of serving the brisket when everybody's ready for it.
On the cruel side, you mentioned the waiting that you can anticipate, you can plan for, you can get a book, you can read, you can do some of those other things. But you mentioned power through the stall. And for people that are even, I think, accomplished or experienced home cooks, this is something that is mystifying and vexes them. You know, I know we don't have a ton of time, but if you can I share a little bit about that? Because it is a very unique phenomenon. It's tough to explain other than just to accept it.
Yes, and associated with brisket. So, in effect, what happens is you're cooking your brisket, the temperature gradually rises as you'd expect it to, and then about 4 hours into the process, if you were using an internal meat thermometer, you would notice with growing horror that the internal temperature of the brisket, it stops rising, it plateaus, it may even dip. And that is called the stall, precisely because the heat rise stalls out. And what is happening is that as the liquid evaporates from the surface of the brisket, it cools the brisket down. You know, much as when you exercise, the perspiration cools you down. Nothing to worry about. It may last 2 or 3 hours, but ultimately the temperature will start rising again. Your brisket will get cooked. Sure as night turns into day, you will be okay. So, you know, that stall, really nothing to worry about.
But it's still one of those kind of mysterious things. So essential insight and
it's
advice.
Weird, yeah. That's absolutely weird. You know, most foods, when you cook them, they don't lose temperature. They right. gain temperature.
And you hear stories of people panicking and, like, just, you know, turning up the heat on everything or taking or thinking something's broke or not working. It's just, it's something to expect. It's one of those phenomenons out there that happens. And all of that, I think, is covered as well as so many of those different recipes and the versatility of brisket in Stephen Reichlin's book, The Brisket Chronicles. You can get it at Amazon.com, your favorite bookstore, and all those. One of the things, Stephen, and your travels have been extensive in the name of food, carrying the torch of great barbecue and grilling around the world. We talk about family road trips, transformative travel. You're in Martha's Vineyard. It's not your hometown, right? That's where you are today in the name of great food. But let's talk a little bit about this new partnership. This is exciting, where Stephen Reichlin is now on the high seas and Windstar yeah. Cruises. How does it work? What is it?
Well, to talk about opportunities you would never expect to arrive, but about a year ago, I was contacted by the Windstar Cruise Line. This is a small boat luxury cruise line, and they wanted to put barbecue restaurants on all their ships. So these will be called the Star Grill by Stephen Reichlin. The recipes will be my recipes, my menus. I will train the chefs, and I will actually be doing some of the cruising. So every year I'll be teaching a class on one of the cruises and taking people on shore to experience some of my favorite grilling in Asia or in the Caribbean. So it's the Star Grill by Stephen Reichlin. You can read about it on the Windstar site or, of course, on my website, which is barbecuebible.com. That's BarbecueBible.com.
Oh, and very last thing, think about it. You have been here since the beginning. I think the first interview that I had done with you, it might have been 2007, 2000.
Yeah, we were both back in puberty back then.
2008, right back in the day before barbecue was even a thing. And now, I mean, just your thoughts on it. As a person who's been there, been a proponent and ambassador forever in it, to see it now where it has gone from really a backyard food to now it's being included as an elevated option on luxury cruises, barbecue, I mean, it's come a long way.
It is truly amazing. But, you know, I'm not surprised. There's something so irresistible about cooking over live fire, standing around the live fire, the intoxicating flavor of spice and wood smoke. You know, whether you're talking traditional American barbecue, whether you're talking explosively flavored Southeast Asian grilling, this is just a food everybody loves. So, you know, I'm not surprised. And if I were to make a prediction, I think it will only get more popular in the future.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for the books, the cruises, all things Stephen Reichlin. What are you going to do on Labor Day? Do you have anything specific that you're going to be doing? Are you teaching a class? You're paying it forward on the education side? Are you going to be at home kind of relaxing?
Well, actually, I will be laboring on Labor Day. I'm flying up to Sept-Rivières, Quebec, Canada. You know, I do a lot of work in Quebec, and I'll be teaching a series of barbecue seminars in this town, beautiful town at the mouth of the St. Lawrence River. Give me a chance to practice my French.
Stephen Reichlin, one of the very, very best in the business, and one of our true heroes when it comes to barbecue and grilling. Thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for taking time out. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you, Dane, and happy holiday to you and all your listeners.